Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Are you struggling to close deals? Cold outreach can be a slow and brutal process, and in many scenarios, it's just wasting the time of both the buyer and the seller, especially when business owners who are trying to find qualified buyers are using inaccurate and outdated data. But it doesn't have to be this way. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, your organization can overcome these challenges by leveraging this amazing technology and platform that translates comprehensive, high-quality buyer data into real-time insights and sales. These deeper insights empower sales reps and teams to adopt the habits of top performers, which leads to much better outcomes like building a bigger pipeline with real customers, leading to higher win rates and conversions, and of course, larger deals and paydays all around. We call this deep sales, and LinkedIn has built the first deep sales platform with the next generation of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Right now, our Millionaire Mindcast family has an amazing opportunity to try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/mindcast. That's linkedin.com/mindcast for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/mindcast and get started.
Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Matty A here. In today's video, we're going to be talking about Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package and how this ties into inflation. How do you hedge against that? What is this impact going to have on your stock and real estate investments? And how do you, most importantly, capitalize on everything that is going on right now? We're going to talk about that coming right up. What's going on, guys? Welcome into today's episode of Millionaire Mindcast. I got my co-host, my brother.
What up, baby? Well, hey.
2 weeks in a row, you're socially distanced from me. I'm starting to have withdrawals, man. This ain't cool.
I know. I'm pretty sure I got the vitty.
You got the vitty? You got your smell and your taste back?
My smell and my taste went away pretty aggressively last Sunday and Monday. And so I feel I can actually taste and smell a little bit of a stuffy nose this morning, but I'm feeling fine.
Nothing's going to keep you from hosting the Millionaire Mindcast.
Nothing's going to keep it. And it was a long week of work, but I feel like just staying focused on work.
Grinding in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Kept me focused and just, you know, the worst part about it was not being able to taste food. Honestly, that was the worst part.
Yeah.
I lost a little bit of weight. My wife loved it.
Well, with that being said, welcome into the show, guys. We're going to be talking about the Biden stimulus plan and his $1.9 trillion, what he is calling the American Rescue Plan, all the details on that. And really, what does that mean for you? What does that mean for our economy? What does that mean for your investments, opportunities, or things that you might want to be hedging against? Because these are things that are going to impact you. Mm-hmm. You know, this quantitative easing, at the end of the day, it's going to have an impact. It's not just going to be a wash, right? So who's it going to? When's it going? And how does this kind of have a lagging effect on all of these things that we're talking about? Of course, you know, each and every week we talk all things money. This episode in particular, talking about money, market updates, the news, and how it ties into real estate and the stock market. With that being said, we want to welcome you to the show. Make sure you check out the show notes at millionairemindcast.com. And know that we have all kinds of tools and free resources for you guys to help you on your march to that $1 million status and beyond. Be sure to, most importantly, head over to becomethebank.info, www.becomethebank.info. For more information on life insurance, if you want to take advantage of a free portfolio review, do an x-ray on the entirety of your portfolio. Most importantly, just to make sure that you're not getting overfeed and that your investing goals, at least where your portfolio is at, is aligned with where you're trying to get and by when. All you have to do is text the word x-ray to 844-447-1555 to set up a call with Ryan. And if you are an accredited investor, a high net worth individual, and you want to know more about my syndication opportunities, you can text the word deals to 844-447-1555. All right, now that we got that out of the way, first and foremost, today is, I think, you know, always an important and inspiring day for a lot of different reasons. This one in particular, my man, Mr. Martin Luther King, somebody that I've always looked up to his heroism, especially in the time that he stood up and spoke out for what he stood for and believed in. And, you know, heroism is, in my opinion, kind of, right, these modern day superheroes being there for other people when no one else will be. I always think, you know, a true hero is when they put the needs of others before themselves. They look for opportunities to help people. And we got a lot of modern day heroes, right, that are out there fighting the good fight for things that they believe in, on causes that they're passionate about. And the cool thing is anyone in life can choose to be a hero, whether it's for your kids, whether it's for your family, whether it's for your community, whether it's for a cause that you're passionate about. And now more than ever, I think, you know, we need a lot of people to step up and stand up for things that are important, because there's a lot of stuff going on right now, right? And there can be a lot of, I would say, you know, I think just a lot of distractions around what's important, right? Yeah. When ultimately there are a lot of amazing people out there doing amazing things. So just make sure you're spotlighting the right people, the right messages, the right things. And right now, you know, today, I'm inspired by him. And it's crazy, man. You know, heroism and heroes in general, when they live on and leave that legacy behind and they're no longer here on this earth, that's pretty special, right? And so just wanted to give a shout out to MLK today. Do you have any thoughts on Mr. Martin Luther King?
Yeah, I think that he was definitely somebody that made a huge impact on our society as a whole. I don't agree with any equality due to somebody's racial background, ethnic background, religious affiliation, or anything, or political affiliation. I think that that was the beginning of, and almost like a lost art. That was the one thing that I always remembered, at least like my flashback from this year with the protests, was how protests were done when things that were clearly a lot bigger of a deal, systemic racism that was like prevalent in the United States at that time, how that was dealt with. And even through, you know, there was riots, there was people going, but, you know, even through all of that, the message was peace, prosperity,
unity.
And unity for the greater good. A lot of that has been by the wayside because people's emotions get hypercharged by politicians, things that they see on social media that are or may not be true, so on and so forth. So I think that that was an era where change was driven by the appeal of the masses in peaceful ways. I always think of that image of them walking up the, near the Washington Monument,
yep.
On the steps up to Lincoln. And how many, you know, the hundreds of thousands of people, or thousands of people, excuse me, that are lined for looks like miles now.
Yeah.
And they're all gathered, white, black, Hispanic, all gathered for one cause. And I think nowadays it's just white, or it's just Latino, or it's just African American. That was something that keep in mind and not to forget and to make sure that you remember. And the fact that that, you know, he did the hard thing when it wasn't a popular thing to do. And then after his death, a lot of the things that he stood for happened.
Yep.
So he's definitely an icon, somebody to look up to. There's a lot of people, I've seen a lot of stuff talking about how he's not as good of a person or whatever, all that BS. Good guy, huge impact on society. And that's why we celebrate him today.
Yeah, I love it. With that being said, I think you brought up a great point too. Is this impact of social media and really media in general, right? And kind of headline news and the ability, a lot of that tech, right? And just how information was disseminated and received and manipulated, you know, that was grassroots, man, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just, to do what he did and have the impact he had back then without some of those tools and resources, it would be
crazy.
It would be crazy to think about what he could do today with his message, with his leadership. And I love what you said, right? No matter your color, your creed, sexual orientation, religion, political stance,
all that.
Now more than ever, we need unity. We need people taking care of people. We need people leading people. We need people stepping up, looking out for their fellow neighbors. And this is, you know, money has nothing to do with this, right? This is just character. This is, this is just
morals.
Your integrity. This is morals. Yeah. This is just having strong core values. And knowing that, hey, we can all you know, have maybe a little bit of different beliefs. And
you and I don't butt heads, but we see differently on things often. Absolutely.
Yeah. You and I have healthy exchanges, right? In terms, yeah. And that's what I love about people that can have that kind of engagement, because it either one opens my mind up to something new that serves me in a much greater way, or it strengthens how I feel and believe about something. But at the end of the day, the rules of engagement, right, are respect and, you know, treating each other with dignity. And, you know, I think that's something that we're really lacking and we need more of. Or, you know what, I think if anything, it's not that that may be lacking as much as we think it is, but what is highlighted today with social media, in the media, right, is always on the fringe. It's what gets the most ratings and the most eyes and ears, instead of the stuff that really makes a big impact and positive difference and serves people at a higher level, which goes back to our message always, which has been be very, 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 very intentional and aware about who you are allowing to speak into your mind, into your world, because at the end of the day, you know, how you feel leads to then how you act on things, leads to how you get results, right? Which then reaffirms how you think and your programming and your subconscious mind. And so very important to just be aware of that now more than ever, because there is a war in terms of a mental warfare that, you know, people who don't give a shit about you and only care about themselves and lining their pockets and furthering their agenda are full, they're on full court press right now.
100%. And they're waiting for soft hands, weak minds to prey upon or yep. to take advantage of. And so you always have to keep sharpening your tools and make sure that you do. And that, you know, and with anybody that speaks into your life from a professional or a moral standpoint, who are these people? What's their background? Why am I listening to them? You know, make sure you really do your digging on people before you go in all in on them.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who decided to take their money and their investments and roll it over to you. And part of what this individual did was a significant amount of due diligence on you. They called me and set up a call with me. I know they had reached out to other individuals. They had really kind of looked you up online. And, you know, there's obviously websites that can show financial advisors and whether they have any marks or blemishes or disclosures on their record for, you know, getting a slap on the wrist or doing something out of an integrity. And one of the reasons why I don't promote anybody, one of the reasons why I endorse you and I call you a great friend, but also why you have all my money is because you have a clean rap sheet. You don't have any of those blemishes on your record. And two, your integrity and your morals and your how you lead your life is very important. And that shows up in how you treat people in business. And ultimately, you're just talented at what you do. So knowing that, you know, that individual took the time to do that due diligence, to do that research. So many people don't do that nowadays. And then when it comes back to bite them in the butt, right, they play the victim card and they cry and they bitch and they moan about it. And ultimately, that just goes back to saying, right, nobody's going to care more about you, your life, your health, your marriage, your relationships, your business, your wealth, than you are, right? So you got to be the one to take full accountability and ownership over that and make sure that, you know, whatever happens, you know, wherever the chips may fall, right? I can at least know that I put in the work and hey, if it doesn't work out, that's all right. I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to keep moving forward. But most of the time when you do go through all those milestones and checkpoints and you leave no stone unturned, right? You can sleep well knowing that you probably are going to make the best decision that's aligned with you and what goals you're trying to achieve. With that being said, we got a big, big, big spending bill coming up. And of course, American taxpayer is going to be footing that. So
oh, yes,
there's going to be
1,000%. And because we have a Democratic president, also American corporations, if you are incorporated yourself,
you're going like to be getting taxed.
We're going to get that raise and that taxes.
When this, so it's called the American Rescue Plan, $1.9 trillion. And I'm going to break down a little bit of what this entails and why does it matter? And, you know, it's funny. I called Ryan when I saw this come out and I was like, dude, what does this mean? You know, we've already printed trillions of dollars. And I don't know what it equates to. I wish I had this statistic in front of me. I actually kind of want to look it up in terms of the amount of money that has been printed
0.25% of like every dollar that's ever existed was printed this year.
So
so you guys know, is not a problem.
So, okay. That, and that's why I called to ask you, and I want to dig into this a little bit, because basically from what I remember reading last, it was about 22% of all US dollars in circulation right now was printed in 2020. So we're talking about 25% of the American dollar in our economy right now was printed this last year.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, right, and to a lot of people is like, shit, that's scary. What does that mean for the stability of our dollar? But then again, right, when you start to think about, well, we're not just the only one doing this in this boat. Correct. And there are obviously other variables in this equation to think about. You know, how does this potential upcoming stimulus plan, and who knows whether or not there's going to be another one behind it as this continues to play out, tie into, one, the stability of our dollar and our currency, you know, our status as an economy, you know, globally, and really just the other aspects of what people should be thinking about and hedging against if there are, you know, some really negative effects from the continuous quantitative easing that we all know could lead to problematic, you know, issues being a result?
Well, that's a long and good question. The main thing with the dollar is that it constantly goes up and down in what's called its purchasing power. The value of the dollar does not really diminish. It's the purchasing power of that dollar. So that's a more accurate way to say what people are trying to say. And it's true. The more dollars that are printed, the less items you could buy domestically with that dollar, because the purchasing power of that dollar goes down quite a bit. But conversely, on the other side of that argument is our trading partners then can afford to purchase a lot more of our goods, and they do. And that levels that out. What we always can fall back on is that the United States is a desirous place for anybody that has any money to put their money, because it is the epicenter or the financial center of the world. The most trading in any open stock market any market is the New York Stock Exchange. You know, you have billions of dollars in volume that flow through there every single day. So when people can then afford to put their money into the US economy that couldn't prior afford to do so, I promise you they do. What does that do then? That kind of cushions that and then allows for the government to then raise interest rates, which they will. And that causes inflation to get kind of, hey, inflation is about to start. We're going to start raising interest rates so that we can charge more for this dollar so that inflation doesn't run away from us. They will do that. I would say that they're going to indicate their first rate hike at the end or mid of summer and then go ahead and do so. I'm feeling a lot of reminiscent of 2015 here. They may raise interest rates in the last open market committee in December, right before the end of the year, kind of as a shocker, which is why the stock market fell at the end of 2015 slightly. There's a lot of things that can and will be done. But to think that the dollar is just going to go poof because a lot of it was printed, let me take you all to church. Back when Bitcoin was made, they made all of Bitcoin in one day. That doesn't mean that all of the Bitcoin just has no value, because there's a lot of it, and then there wasn't any of it. Conversely, there's now almost all Bitcoin has been mined. About 90% of it has been mined. And eventually, it'll hit its limit, where there's no more of it to buy. And then they're just going to have to come up with another arbitrary number. That number will decide the value of Bitcoin based on the demand that it is driving. I will give you a hint. It's going to drop by a lot, because they're going to have to add a lot more Bitcoin. Bitcoin will still have the same utility that it has at that time. It will just be worth less because there's less demand for that asset. It's the same thing in the United States. There's not a lack of that asset. Therefore, the price of it is down. We can look at this back in the 80s when, if you want to talk about something completely fringe, like when cocaine became crack cocaine, it was because there was a surplus of cocaine into the United States. If you want to look at a housing market, why is the housing prices so high right now? Because there's a lack of supply. So it's just supply and demand. And anybody, Robert Kiyosaki, dumbass thinks that there's a bunch of, hey, buy gas, buy gold, buy guns. You know, if you would have followed his advice a year ago, you'd lost a shitload of money. Don't listen to stuff like that. It's completely, it starts coming out on fringe stuff because it's fringe advice. It has no basis with anybody that has actual money that deals with actual people's assets. Another thing that I've been seeing a lot of, and a lot of real estate guys, which I will tread lightly. When you buy, when you say like the dollar's value is diminishing, so go buy a real asset with that dollar, which is valued off of that dollar. So you can cash flow dollars. Oh, you sound like a fucking retard. I mean, just the stuff that I hear and then like people like believe because some dude's wearing a Louis Vuitton belt and he's got jeans on and a fucking blazer. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's absolutely cracks me up. But just be careful. There's a lot of gurus out there that will tell you a lot of things. I stand back on the fact that if you Google my name and you look at the assets that I look over and the amount of people that I take care of and how many people are upset about me taking care of their money, I have a track record of actually doing things that are quantifiable into positive results. I've said it before and I will say it again. I don't shine things up to make them sexier than they are so that you will buy them or you will do them. But if Wall Street, I follow what the big money does. It's called smart money. If it was possible to make more money than Wall Street was, I would be doing just that. But the problem is there's not. And that's why you have to follow the big bags and what they're doing. If Bitcoin was such a big thing, they would be buying it. If the dollar was so terrible, they'd be going long other currencies. And they're just not. They're not doing that. So until that happens, that's when I'll make actionable moves in the opposite direction. But for the time being, one statistic I will always remind people, the stock market, about 80% of it is owned by the top 1% in the world, the US stock market. Crazy. You have to ask yourself why you're not a part of that. And why you're so afraid to be a part of the thing that generates the most wealth. And all of those people to couple on with that own real estate as well. All of them. All those people own both asset classes. You have to do both. You cannot just be 100% real estate. You can be real estate heavy. You can't just be 100% stock or bonds or traditional investments. You can be stock heavy, but you have to have symbiosis in both. Both of those things drive real wealth. Real, you know, and I know. You dealt with the big players in the real estate realm, and I've dealt with the opposite. All of those guys have real estate, and I would argue all those guys have investments in stock or companies that are a stock-based company. So it's just, it's the way that the real wealthy make money is by ignoring all the stuff that TikTok has and by Instagram has and that these gurus post that mean nothing to your real bottom line. Focus on what you're good at. Focus on, if you're in real estate, picking up distressed assets, probably at the end of this year, beginning of next year now, if I'm making my prediction, which is I'm going to kick that ball forward.
Let's take a quick break and hear from today's show sponsor.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desks, creators of the best office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. Visit upliftdesk.com/mindcast. For 5% off your order. And if you sit all day while you work and you've never tried a desk that can transition between sitting and standing, this is a complete game changer for you. My standing desk is by Uplift Desk. It's what I use every day to record the show, to do my office work. And I gotta say, the transition from sitting all day to standing while I work at various times throughout the day has really made a noticeable difference. When I'm standing, I notice that my energy is up. I'm way more focused and productive. I'm an alert, and I even have a little standing treadmill under my desk now, which allows me to get some extra steps in while plugging away on calls and work. It keeps the blood flowing throughout the day, which we all know can reduce all types of inflammation, different health risks, repetitive strain. And I noticed that my posture has drastically improved since switching to Uplift Desk as well, because I'm not hunched over a computer all day. And while there's a lot of options out there, the reason I chose Uplift Desk is because of the quality. It doesn't wobble, it's completely stable, it's built to last. And you can tell based on the materials that they use, and they are customizable too. Uplift Desk lets you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 desktop choices and hundreds of accessories, so you can build the perfect workspace for yourself using their fun to use desk configurator. Now, once you have your desk designed and ordered, they ship the same day You get free shipping. They do free returns with free return shipping. And the best part is they have an industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk, which to me was a big deal. And it shows that they stand behind their product. Now to get yours, go to upliftdesk.com/mindcast for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/mindcast to get 5% off your entire order.
If you're looking to get in the stock market, stop trying to time the market. Timing the market is the way you lose money. Put your damn money in the market and start letting it ride. Those are the easy ways to create wealth. But overthinking and getting in your head is exactly how you're going to stay poor.
Yep, absolutely. I saw somebody post the other day and I just liked it. It said, be aware of the quote unquote expert who's never fucking done anything. And there is a lot of those people.
Especially with Clubhouse. Oh my God, I've seen a lot of millionaire Clubhouse rooms with freaking thousandaires in there.
Dude, it's so funny. I was thinking that the other day. How many people... I'll just say this. Some of the most influential and gangster and successful and wealthiest people I know are like, why the fuck would I stand on Clubhouse and be in a conversation for, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time when I could be out there hustling and making money, right? Yeah. And so hosting, you know, rooms for hours on end, it is the quote unquote, in my opinion, influencers. And don't get me wrong, there's a handful of people that are giving their time and sharing their wisdom on there. But I will tell you this much, it is few and far between when it comes to real Amen. Experts and real people that have done real things. So just be careful and be cautious. But again, guys, where you're allocating your time is extremely important. And I'll tell you this much, in 2021, this is going to be a wealth building opportunity and grab of a lifetime. I want every single one of you to take advantage of it and be a part of it and get your fair share, because these kinds of, I heard somebody else say this too, and take this in the right context, but it's never waste a great crisis. And whether that is, you know, the pandemic of 2020 and all of the, you know, financial opportunity that's going to come from it, or the personal growth that's going to come from it, or, you know, you going through challenges in your life and, right, using those learning lessons as stepping stones to be a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more wise, a little bit more capable and equipped to go and tackle the next hurdle or challenge that you know life is going to throw at you at some point. Don't waste a good crisis. Don't just sit back and just look to accumulate information all the time. You got to keep taking action. You got to keep moving. And there'll be, you know, there's many investments I've made over the course, either in real estate or in really stocks or anything that I've lost my ass on, and it's made me 2, 3, 5, 10-fold as I've continued to use those learning lessons to my advantage moving forward. So I always find it's the people with the most failures that they got more L's on their chalkboard than they do W's, but it's the L's that allowed them to take advantage of the big, big W's that were way more exponential in terms of growth moving forward.
How many times have we said that?
Yeah, right.
Y'all listen to two of the biggest losers in the Western Hemisphere.
I love it, man. I mean, I have no problem losing and failing and checking my ego at the door and going, man, I sucked there. Or man, I shouldn't have done that. But really, I'm glad I did, because when I look back at some of my biggest rock bottoms, they have always led me to my biggest successes and breakthroughs. And that's ultimately what life is all about, right? Is you got to just keep it moving. I would just say, keep it moving. Right? Because ultimately life rewards people through velocity. And it's the people who are just slow to act, too much thinking, too slow to take any kind of action in their life that ultimately end up being the ones that, you know, just don't cover the ground that they really want to cover in life. But for those of you who I know are probably wondering, like, I've heard inflation, what does inflation really mean? Inflation is defined as a sustained increase in the price of goods and services. So inflationary environment. A good example is just a gallon of milk that was once $3 may now cost you $4. You've probably already seen and felt this as you go through your grocery line and you look at, why am I spending more money for all of the same things that I'm normally buying? Well, that's because inflation is starting to hit, and we've already seen it over the course of the last year. And with this new $1.9 trillion stimulus plan, it is going to accelerate. Yep. It's going to happen. You're going to feel it in a lot of different areas, but there are definitely ways you can hedge against inflation, right? And there are ways that you can get crushed from inflation. Yep.
So the ways that you get crushed mainly, guys, are debt-focused assets that lock you into an interest-bearing number or in a bond, like a coupon rate. Normally, when we look at interest-bearing assets, if my tip of my fingers is interest rates and bottom of my hand is the principal value of those assets, as interest rates rise to combat inflation, those asset values have to go down because they were issued on a debt instrument. So what that means is if you go to a bank, for example, and the bank issues you a bond, that bond, if the interest rate has to go up on it in order to keep pace with inflation, the bank is going to lower the amount of debt they owe you back because they're going to pay that back to you via coupon rates. Therefore, you're going to get your debt back at a discount. You want to be very, 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 very careful.
Very careful.
Because it's the one time where debt assets, which are generally safe assets, become the opposite. And where safe assets like equities and real estate, or excuse me, not as safe, real estate and equities, they do extremely well when interest rates go up.
Yep.
And you have to be careful on which type of real estate, I can go into that, and which type of equities or equitable assets you invest in. Because although real estate is a debt asset, meaning you leverage against it, you do that exact same thing. You leverage. Therefore, that supersedes that. And equities are a good place because generally people move their money from debt assets into equitable asset classes when interest rates or when inflation starts to tear, because those historically are the places that appreciate the most, real estate and stocks. And I think real estate beats stocks in this example.
This one it does.
Because the leverage.
Yes.
But those are the two best places that I historically have been able to study.
Yeah.
Sorry to jump so much.
No, you're spot on, dude. I don't think I have more to add to that in the sense that, you know, in a high inflationary market, being in hard tangible assets like real estate and like stocks,
like to be able to touch it.
There's really nothing better than those two, right? So thinking about that in terms of your investing goals. And this is why I love life insurance. And this is why you should head over, guys, to whether you want to do it or not, to learn and educate yourself more, whether it's this year, future years down the road. I'm telling you, you can't start this soon enough. Head over to www.becomethebank.info and just set up a call with Ryan so he can help break this down for you and you can understand it. If you want to know really what more in-depth breakdown of life insurance, go back to last week's Millionaire Mindcast episode where Ryan literally broke down life insurance and how beneficial it can be and why so many people, especially the wealthiest families in the world, use this to not only protect themselves with a death benefit, right? Which is really, yeah, okay, great. But more importantly, to protect and grow their wealth over time is inflation allows borrowers to pay lenders back with money that is worth less than when it was originally borrowed, which benefits who? That benefits borrowers. When inflation causes higher prices, the demand for credit then increases, which benefits who? Lenders.
Yep.
So if you are somebody that has a life insurance policy and you can get into, which I always say, banks are up on the top of the totem pole for a reason, right? They have all of the benefits that ultimately being the lender gives you that most other people can't get. And they still get a lot of the insulation and hedge against all of the risks that come along with being in that seat. So if you can be your own bank, right? Which is why we said becomethebank.info is ultimately why the wealthiest people in the world, they're lenders. And so when you can pull on your policy, still have all the other benefits of it, but pull on your policy and get that money into a lending capacity, especially in inflationary times that we're going to be heading into, you are in the best possible driver's seat that you possibly can be in. So something that I would recommend for everybody is just head over to becomethebank.info. And again, I get no benefits from this. Of course, Ryan He's one of the top, you know, life insurance experts in the country. But that's why we have him here on the show, is he'll jump on a call with you guys for free to break this down for you and see if it's something that actually works and aligns with your goals and what you're trying to accomplish. And in the market that we're heading into, right, I know that this is something that people might want to start thinking about and getting a little bit in front of. But to break down where this inflation is coming from and what is kind of stimulating it, going back to this American Rescue Plan. So what does it entail? Well, first and foremost,
a lot of money.
$1.9 trillion.
Holy crap, a lot of money.
And I'm going to give you guys, and mind you, right, I'm going to go over some of the high points of it. And you're going to be like, well, where's all the other money? Well, there's always, what do they call it? Pork?
Yeah, pork. That's a slang term in politics. They call it pork.
It's a bunch of fat and garbage, right, that's left.
There's there's billions of it, guys. Hundreds of billions.
Yeah. Yes.
Are you interested in boosting your income by an extra $50,000 this year? If so, you're going to love what I've got in store for you. I am beyond excited to officially announce an incredible opportunity to join me in my exclusive mastermind, which will include myself and 25 other hand-selected investors who are actively pursuing commercial real estate in 2024 and want to be held accountable to making sure they buy their first or their next commercial real estate investment property that will net them a minimum of $50,000 a year. This mastermind group will not only teach you how to do that, how to find, how to analyze, how to structure and buy these types of commercial real estate investment properties, but you'll also have an opportunity to be a part of an intimate group of high achievers that are going to take your network and your resources to a whole nother level. But here's the catch. Like I mentioned before, this is exclusive. We're only selecting 25 ambitious individuals for our founding members group who are serious and ready to take that next step in their commercial real estate investing journey. So if you are ready to increase your passive income by at least $50,000 in the next year with commercial real estate investing, then this is your moment. These spaces are gonna fill up fast. And trust me, this is the one and only time to be a founding member, which comes with some pretty special benefits. So head over to myfirst50k.com and submit your application now. Again, that's myfirst50k.com. You can head over there, check out the program, see everything that it entails, submit your application to join, and I can't wait to connect with you soon.
Exactly.
The majority of it is, I think it's like 30 to 40% pork.
Pork. Yeah. With that being said, though, we got some things that will tie and trickle into, and I'll just, you know, of course, break it down in terms of how it goes back into real estate a little bit. First and foremost, let's talk about beefed up stimulus payment. So they are proposing there's going to be $1,400 per person. This is in addition to the $600 approved in December. So that'd be $2,000 per person. Some people may have already gotten their checks, others haven't and are waiting for it. This $1,400 would be put on top of that for you and any dependents in terms of your family. Unemployment is going to go up from $300 a week to $400. That'll be extended through September. And at this level, which is kind of crazy to think about, people who made less than $65,000 per year should actually take home more on unemployment than they did when they were employed. Now, this is a little concerning to me. I get, you know, we need to get people the money that they need to keep the lights on and pay their rent and, right, not have this ripple effect where it starts knocking over big dominoes that lead to even bigger dominoes falling behind that. With that being said, though, I know a lot of people that literally don't want to go back to work because they are, the government's taking care of me right now. Shit, what do I need to go back to work for? I'm actually going to make more money staying at home. And that is a very, very, in my opinion, dangerous psychology that is going to, whether we like it or not, become much more prevalent in how people think and act and pursue their goals, which if we go even to the deeper, you know, peel back some more layers to the onion, socialism. They just lean on the government to fix everything, to control everything now that they're giving you everything. And the bread lines get longer and longer and longer. That's scary to me. But that being said, I know a lot of people need that money, right? So it comes back to the financial responsibility and literacy of these individuals, which I don't trust. I don't trust people are going to use that money for the right reasons and do the right things with it that ultimately it is intended for, which ultimately ties back into the $25 billion rental assistance program. And this is in addition to the $25 billion that they just passed in December. So yes, this is good for landlords. This is good for renters in the short term. This is something that obviously, if it was used appropriately, I'll give you a quick little statistic. The total need to really catch up on behind rent is $75 billion. So $75 billion of unpaid rent. But if some of the additional unemployment money, you take the $25 billion that he's talking about proposing in this plan and the $25 billion that was just approved in December, and then you use some of that, right, unemployment money that people are getting on a weekly basis, that could actually potentially catch up and make whole the $75 billion that is a gap right now in the rent that is unpaid, right? Which could be something that's very, very good for landlords and homeowners and communities as a whole and
the economy as a whole,
right? Mm-hmm. But this goes back to, again, have people shown that they can properly manage their money? And the answer is, unfortunately, no, right? We know that over 80% of Americans barely have $1,000 in their checking account. That's scary, right? So you go and give all that money to people who already don't know how to manage their money. I don't trust that they're going to use it appropriately and allocate it appropriately. But with that being said, we got another $5 billion set aside to pay struggling renters' utility bills. We have $5 billion for states to assist with at-risk of homelessness individuals. And then we have $15 billion additional to small businesses, which would basically be more PPP money. They don't have any details out on that yet, but it's funny, right? They want to help small businesses, but then we got all these progressive governors still keeping their states, communities shut down. So a lot of things that, you know, on paper sounds good, looks good, the execution of it and how it's ultimately going to be used.
Not going to happen.
Still to be determined, I guess. Is what it comes back to. But last, they are going to extend the federal eviction moratorium, which is set to expire the end of January to September 30th. We also planning on extending forbearance and foreclosures. And I think the assistance should allow people to get caught up. But I also think that, you know, if we hold these evictions, we hold these forbearances, we hold these foreclosures from actually happening and hold people accountable to using the money the way it should be. Giving them both, I think, will lead to abuse. And I think there's going to be a lot of gray area that ultimately leads to a lot of BS in between. And so one or the other, right? I think, hey, let's give them all of that money. Sure. But now that you have all that money, pay up. Make whole on your responsibilities and your dues, right? And if you don't, then release those evictions, moratoriums, release those forbearances, release those foreclosure holds. Because ultimately, we're just kicking the can further down the road and we're giving more people room to go and use that money irresponsibly.
Yeah, so, as much as it sucks, I mean, somebody eventually, you know, I know that it's not cool to be in dire straits, but like as an adult, when you make adult decisions, you have adult results that come from that.
Yep.
If I'm building my house and it comes time to put the money down for my, you know, finish out my jumbo loan and I don't have the cash, nobody's going to start a GoFundMe for me. You know, they're going to say you lose all of your money and you now don't get to buy this house and somebody gets to profit off of your bad choices. That is called capitalism. And if you do not like it, there's a fucking lots of borders you can go across and you can experience what it's like elsewhere. And then we'll see you back here pretty soon. Canada, go try to get into the doctors in Canada and good luck. Mexico, good luck getting past Tijuana without getting your head blown off. I mean, like literally, I don't get why people think that's like, hey, this is America, so you should be able to make whatever choices you want to make and then don't have to pay for the consequences. I'm sorry. That's not the fucking way it works. Yeah. You know, I'm charged with responsibilities that everybody else that should be blanketed across. I can't go build a house on the sidewalk and live there. Neither should a homeless person. If I'm not allowed to miss my taxes and not pay my bills, neither should a less fortunate person. I just don't, that's not fair. I'm in a 50%+ tax bracket on my personal income. And if I would go, they would slap the freaking fines down on me faster than I could take my second breath And then somebody's bitching and moaning because they can't pay a $15 a month Section 8. Somebody's got to pay the Pied Piper eventually. And this woe is me. It's not fair. That bullshit has to go out the door. Life isn't fair, period. It isn't. You know, I was given something that you weren't. That's already not fair. What are you going to do about it? Yep. So just, I don't, that's that, that a pervasive mentality of woe is me, handout. It wasn't easy and it was easier for this person. So I need to have it easy for me. That's ultimately going to be the downfall of those people in society that continue to bite onto that because it's not going to work.
Yeah. There are about 50 million U.S. mortgages, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association, and just about under 5.5% or 2.75 million of those mortgages are currently in forbearance. This is according to MBA lender survey data. Forbearance is obviously topped out at 8.55% last June. And this last year, we saw one of the lowest 16-year low of foreclosure filings. Well, of course, right? That's because the eviction, the moratoriums for, you know, really the government-backed loans. There was a lot of loans outside of that, which really made that that foreclosure data up. But with that being said, I still think that the single family market in 2021 is going to tear. The single family market, yes, I think, is going to continue to thrive and appreciate. We got low supply. We've still got very strong demand. And as we get deeper into policy changes and the dust settling, I think it'll start to slow down towards the end of 2021, headed into 2022. You know, you talked about them raising rates, which they're going
to
do.
Will.
Yep. They are going to do. So if you have the ability to get a refi through right now or to get long-term 30-year fixed financing, lock that shit in because that is cheap, 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 cheap money that you can take advantage of and ultimately profit from. It's going to increase your margins, your return on your investment, your cash on cash, right? And as they start to increase these rates, that's going to inspire some people to get off the fence, get in. We're still going to see strong demand through the summer. But then, right, as they start to raise rates up a little bit more, that is also going to limit certain people's buying power. So that might curb some of the demand. And as we start to see more houses hit the market, as some of these individuals look to capitalize on the equity they have in there, right? Or as we start to see some individuals who are facing distress that maybe aren't getting the relief that they need and more supply hits the market as demand slows a little bit, as supply increases a little bit, I think we're going to see prices start to cool down a little bit. But that being said, we ultimately know that the market's still going to stay very, very strong. But the rules of the game, we still don't necessarily know. So when you don't know the rules of the board game and they're not fixed, right, then you don't necessarily know how to lock in your strategy and lock in how you're going to play that board game for the next few years. So as we have this new administration coming in, and with all the policy changes that come in, with the tax changes and with inflation, and with obviously different stimulus and moratoriums, there's so many things that are still ultimately unknown. We don't know what this correction in the real estate market is going to look like in one, two, three, 4 years down the road. What I do know is after the 08 crash, and again, this was somewhat of an anomaly, but if you go back and look at the charting and the data on all market cycle corrections, it takes a little time for the dust to settle and for those things to kind of solidify and for the market to find its bottom before it decides to start bouncing back up again. 08, 09, 10, 11, ultimately were not the best times to buy real estate. Could you still make money during those times? Absolutely, right? So again, Ryan going back and saying, never try and time the market. You just have to adjust your strategy as the data starts to roll out. And that's why it's really important as a real estate investor, whether it's in stocks, whether it's in real estate, to make data-driven decisions and not emotional decisions because we are emotional human beings, right? So when you can keep those emotions outside of the lines and stay focused and use fundamentals for investing and look at the data as somewhat of your crystal ball or at least kind of a roadmap on what the next logical smart decision should be that's best aligned with your goals, you're going to be that much more likely to succeed. Are you going to make mistakes? Are you going to strike out? Are you going to get your ass handed to you? Absolutely. Yep. But the people that are in that game are going to be the ones that are getting up on base and are rounding the bases and are ultimately crossing home plate and putting runs up on the scoreboard. And that's all we want for you guys, is to just stay in the game. You know, we're going to continue to bring the data and the conversation to the table. And just so you guys know, we always reserve the right to be wrong, right? We make mistakes too. But with that being said, we're winning more than we're losing when it comes to being in here and learning and growing as we go through this process with you guys. Oh, you got anything out of that?
You passed it. I was in the moment.
I thought you froze. That I lulled you to sleep or what? Was that shit boring?
No. I was just watching. To jump onto what Matt said though, you have to make actionable, proactive choices. And something we've talked about, you know, it may feel uncomfortable to do that, but it's okay. Matt has made a ton of, you know, decisions, and I can even say recently, that are uncomfortable to him to do because he's in this growth zone. The unknown is kind of where you get to find the known. So you have to explore those areas and fail in those areas to learn how to succeed in them. So just don't let anything hold you back. Make sure that you're making calculated risk decisions, obviously, nothing crazy. And again, who you're getting your information from is quality. And the person that you're getting it from has a track record of following through and doing things in their space as well. So I'll just leave it at that.
Love it. With that being said, guys, hit us up. If you have any questions, shoot us a text at 844-447-1555. Head over to millionairemindcast.com. Take advantage of all the freebies, tools, and resources. If you're watching this on YouTube, just go down in the show description below and you'll see all kinds of stuff that is available to you guys. If you're not subscribed to the channel yet, be sure to subscribe. Hit that like button. Drop us a comment below. And we just want to say thank you. We love you guys. We love having these conversations. We're going to continue bringing and creating space to have the conversations that matter. Because ultimately, right, all of this stuff, as you accumulate all this data and you kind of break it down and you figure out where does it fit into your plan and what decisions you are or aren't making to help you unlock that next level of lifestyle, of freedom, of financial abundance for yourself and for your family, you got to stay in these conversations. That's the most important piece, is you will grow into the conversations and the environments that you put yourself in. So make sure you're choosing wisely. We appreciate you choosing the Millionaire Mindcast. We love you guys. With that being said, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
See you guys.
Well, that wraps up this week's episode of Wealth Building Wednesday. Be sure to tune in next week for more news and updates. If you got some value from today's show, all we ask is that you either leave a review on whatever podcasting platform you enjoy listening to this content on, or share this with somebody that you know can gain some insight, some value from it. One of the things that you guys know about Ryan and I is, you know, we definitely won't say we have all the answers, and we definitely won't say we know it all. We just want to bring conversation to the areas, the topics that we believe are really important to bring attention and awareness to help you sharpen your axe, put more tools on your tool belt, weaponize you to make the best decisions that align not only with your financial goals, right, but your lifestyle goals. So if you guys want to take advantage of Ryan's free financial x-ray on your investment portfolio, all you have to do is text the word x-ray to 844-447-1555. Most people have no idea what they're being charged from a fee perspective, or really in most cases, overcharged, and whether or not their current investment plan is actually aligned with what they're trying to accomplish and by when. And this is something Ryan does for all of our listeners for free. So be sure to take them up on that x-ray, one word, to 844-447-1555. Also, if you are someone who is serious about building your wealth and you're already kind of established, but you want to surround yourself with other like-minded, high net worth individuals, be sure to text Wealth Camp, one word, to 844-447-1555 to learn more about our intimate five-star experiences with other like-minded business owners and investors, to cross-pollinate, to hear what they're doing, and to have a whole hell of a lot of fun while we're doing it. And last, if you want to know more about consulting or getting mentorship directly from me or from Ryan, you can learn more by texting the word mentor to 844-447-1555. With that being said, that's all for this week. Until next, keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.